If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. See, righteousness makes life. And the body, why is the body dead because of sin? It doesn't mean, well, because I got sin running through me like cancer, man. And so I'm like, I'm dead, man, because I just sin and sin and sin and death is working in my members, and my members are all creepy death. No, the body is dead because of sin, meaning Christ has made us free from the law because the body is dead. Remember in chapter 7 that we are supposed to, Paul had drawn this careful little analogy where it's like a wife. You were once married to the law and sin and death, and a law in your members, the motions of sin, you were married to all those things. Those things were like bound to you, right? When you were in the flesh, the motions of sin, right? But now you are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein you were held, that being dead, meaning the law, that you should serve in newness of the spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. That's verse 6. You know, it says, verse 4, though, is the one I was really thinking of. Chapter 7, verse 4. You are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead. See, the idea is you are dead to sin as well. The body, which is means the body of sin, is dead because of sin. Because why? His own son, verse 3, in the likeness of sinful flesh, for sin, condemned sin in the flesh by his death. And his resurrection is the spirit of life, which brings righteousness. But if the spirit, verse 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So, the idea is the spirit of him, the spirit of God, the Father, that raised up Jesus from the dead, if that is in you, then he makes you alive the way he makes Christ alive, right? And he quickens your mortal body. See, you're, like I said, the body itself is not like this evil thing, because there were different... You know, the Gnostics and so on back in the old days, even during the time of the apostles, had kind of latched themselves onto Christianity, saying the physical world is evil, the spiritual world, you know. Your body will be raised from the dead and transformed. And he couldn't, and that may be what he's referring to. Quicken means to make alive. But I think also, my body that I'm dwelling in now, the, you know, dead in sin and so on, but it's made alive. Because I think the body is very much a part of the person. It's not separate. God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a soul right there on the ground. The formula for a soul is body plus life. And then a soul springs forth. At least for the human body, you know. By his spirit that dwelleth in you. See, he makes even this, he sanctifies the flesh. You know, he'll say later on, know you not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Your body. Now, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. I mean, the flesh body, left to its own, will have desires and pride. But God is about transforming things. When the spirit is reigning, it's governing the body. It makes the body alive. It yields righteousness. And it makes you free. Because if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify, which means if you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You've got to put those things to death. Those things have to die. Now, it says, through the Spirit, do mortify. See, you can't, I'm going to put to death my body. Okay, I'm going to, there's got to be a law somewhere in the Bible here that'll teach me what I got to do to put the things to death. Right? Because when people say, you got to die, you got to die, you got to put it to death. Well, how do you do that? And when I say, when I simply answer, well, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find. It's like, what? I did that, but nothing happened. And I know that feeling. I know that feeling because, like I said, I spent 14 years under certain sins. And, seeking to be relieved. I'll tell you what though, I wasn't as diligent as I would be if I knew better. But I didn't give up. Not entirely. I suppose at some points I may have felt close, like, what's the use, right? What's the use, man? What's the use? You feel as useless as you could feel. You feel like, how can I ever please God? It's just impossible. You feel like that. I know that feeling. But don't. But listen to my voice now. As someone who knows better. And someone who has had experience. Don't give up. Keep seeking God. And then when more time than you can bear. When more time than you think can bear has gone by. Still don't give up. Continue to ask. And it will be given you. But you have to endure. You can't say, God, if God wanted to put us in a world in which we could be coddled, I joke on my mind that he'd put us in America. But even so, I mean, the little trials we go through in this part of the world where everything is cotton candy is absolutely ridiculous. Our trials, our difficulties compared to what other people have to go with. I guess in a sense, that's why it says, he that has suffered in the flesh ceases from sin. I don't know if he meant that suffering causes an end of sin, or that the end of sin brings suffering, or that they kind of go together, which I tend to think it's sort of like a mixture of both, meaning that suffering doesn't give you a lot of time for sin, right? And a good way to